Can I ask you to turn, please, to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 7. I'm going to share a story this morning from the life of Jesus and from His ministry. The story is not a strange one. I'm sure that it's one that will be familiar to you as we read it. But as I was reading it this week, the Lord just showed me something in it that I've known to be truth, and you perhaps, many of you also will already know it to be truth. But just to see this aspect of God's dealing with men thrills my heart. And if you have never been aware of the principle that's going to be revealed to you this morning by the Holy Spirit, then you be prepared to have your life changed. You get ready to have your life changed by the power of God. Jesus Christ, in His earthly ministry, this is a day in the life of the Lord. Beginning to read in verse number 1. Now when He had ended all His sayings in the audience of the people, He entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto Him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto Him the elders of the Jews, beseeching Him that He would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought Him instantly, saying that He was worthy for whom He should do this, for He loveth our nation, and He hath built us a synagogue. Now, get the picture. Jesus has been ministering day and night to the people. As He entered into a new town, Capernaum, He is met there by a delegation of Jews who have been delegated by an Italian, a soldier, a Roman soldier, a centurion in Caesar's army, who had a servant that he loved greatly, who was sick and was about to die. And when this Roman soldier had heard about Jesus and heard that He went about doing good and He went about healing the sick and He went about doing wonderful and marvelous miracles in the name of God, when he heard about that, hope rose up on the inside of him, and he thought, if I can just get to this man, then my servant won't have to die. I can get my servant healed. And so he requested a group of Jews and he delegated them to go to the man Jesus and tell him about the situation and ask him if he would minister to the servant. Now, the thing that struck me as I was reading this passage was the attitude of the Jews, the attitude of the delegation that came to Jesus. And it is the attitude of many today, both within the church and without. It is a wrong attitude, but it is a prevalent attitude. It's an attitude that is prevalent in the praying of people. It is also an attitude which is prevalent in people, which causes a frustration in receiving anything from God. And that attitude is that in order to receive from God, you must be worthy. In order to get anything from God, you must be good enough. You've got to be worthy enough. If you want to be saved, you have to be worthy. If you're already saved, you've been born again, and you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that you might have power, you have to be worthy in order to get that. If you're sick in your body and you need to be healed, you have to be worthy. If you're in a situation in life, the circumstances of life are difficult and you're in need of help, you must be worthy. And there are those that are in the church that are praying unto God, "Oh Lord, look at my situation. Help me, Lord, because I haven't done too many bad things. Lord, in comparison with the rest of the general public, I'm worthy." There are those that are on the other side of the spectrum who are so aware of their unworthiness that they dare not pray. And they refuse to ask God for anything. And if they are told that God wants to give it to them, they refuse to accept it because they're condemned by their own unworthiness. This attitude of being worthy or not worthy is not a new thing. Jesus dealt with it here. Here are a group of religious people. Religious people. You may be religious. You may be a member of a church. You may be very active in a church, a very religious person in your community, but you're bound up with this very doctrine which prevents you from receiving the good blessings of God. The Jews came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, we don't want you to come heal this man's servant just because he's sick. We don't want you to come and heal this man's servant because you love him. We're not asking you to do this because of the grace and the mercy of God. We're asking you to do it on the basis of the worthiness of this centurion. He's a good man. He's a good man. He's treated us well. We're a slave people. And he is an authority over us. But he's a good man. He loves our nation. And he's built us a synagogue. Surely he deserves to have his servant healed. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now we see a completely different attitude here, don't we? This man did not ask the Jews to go see Jesus and have him come heal the servant because he was worthy. Quite the contrary, he said, I'm not worthy to have the man even come under my roof. That's why I didn't come to you personally. That's why I sent this delegation, because I have a sense of my own unworthiness. I know that I've never done anything that makes me worthy to receive anything from the Almighty God. There's nothing in me that's good. There's nothing in me that represents myself well before the throne of Almighty God. There's absolutely no reason, based on good within me, that I could expect to receive anything from God. And do you know that that is the truth? Paul said in Romans the 7th chapter, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I want you to know that if you're going before the throne of God expecting to receive something because of your own worthiness, you'll never receive it. It will never come to pass. There is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3 and verse 10. There is nobody who has ever been born who has been worthy of the goodness of God save Jesus Christ. I read over in Revelation the 4th and the 5th chapter, in the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, the scripture, we sing the song, Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. And if you'll read on through the 5th chapter, you will find that down about the 4th verse, when John saw the vision of the great book that was in heaven, and it was sealed with the 7 seals. You remember that story? And John wept because no man was found worthy to open the seals of the book and reveal the plan of God. There was not one man in all of the heavens and in all of the earth that was found worthy save one, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. No man receives anything from God because of his own worthiness. Jesus knew that. This centurion knew it. I know it. And now you know it. It is not worthiness that God blesses. It's not your worthiness that God is looking for in order to determine how much of his goodness he will pour out to you. He's not looking for worthy people. If he was, he would be lonesome forever, because there's not one worthy. Do you understand what I'm saying? The man said, I'm not worthy for you to even set your foot in my house. But the man had something else going for him. He said, I understand what it's like to be set under authority. I am a soldier. I have higher ranking officers over me, and I'm under their authority. And because of the authority that they have given to me, I speak to a man, I say, go, and he goes. I speak to another man, I say, go, and he goes. And I recognize who you are. I know that you're the Lord. I know that you're under the authority of God, and I know that if you'll just speak the word, it'll happen like that. But what was he operating under? Faith. He didn't have a sense of worthiness, but he had a sense of faith. He believed in the Lord, and he believed in the power of God. He was totally unworthy, and he knew it, but he believed. He had faith that Jesus could and would. Verse number 9, when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In all of the religious people, he said, I have not found such wonderful faith. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. In Matthew's Gospel, the 8th chapter, the same story is recorded. Jesus said that they shall come from the east and from the west, they shall come from every direction, and they shall sit down at the table in the seat in the kingdom of God, and they shall eat with Abraham and Isaac and with Jacob. But he said, the children of the kingdom shall be cast out where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's he saying? Those that exercise simple faith in the promises of God, regardless of where they are and regardless of their religious heritage and regardless of their worthiness or unworthiness, if they will simply believe what God has said, that they will come and sit down at the table of God and they will eat the fullness of God's blessing with all of the marvelous saints of God. Those who are bound by a sense of religion, those that are bound by an awareness of their own worthiness will be cast out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You can't be worthy enough to receive any of God's blessings. They only come one way. They come by faith. Beloved, if you're not saved today, if you don't know that if you were to die today that you're going to go to heaven, would you simply believe what God said in His Word and call on the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth and get your life changed on the inside? Irregardless of your worthiness, I know you're not worthy. You know you're not worthy, and God Almighty knows you're not worthy. But He says, I don't care about your worthiness. I'm not determining your eternal destiny on the basis of your own worth. If you'll simply believe what I said, if you'll simply put your trust in what I promised, I'll touch your life. I'll change you. I look around me here today, and I know most of you very well. What's more, most of you know me very well. And I believe we could all agree on a general principle of unworthiness, couldn't we? I thought we could. And on the strength of God's Word, even those of you who I don't know, God knows, and He's recorded you in His book. And He tells me the same thing about you. In Romans, the 4th chapter, Paul recorded a passage concerning Abraham, the father of our faith, that great man of the book of Genesis. And Paul tells us that Abraham was made right with God, not because of his worthiness, but because of his faith. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? In other words, what happened to Abraham? For if Abraham were justified by works, in other words, if he were made right with God by his worthiness, he hath whereof to glory. In other words, he could thrust out his chest and put his fingers in his vest and say, look at me. but not before God, because God knows better. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. How was Abraham made right with God? By how? By believing God, by his faith. He was made right with God not because of his worthiness, not because he was a tither, not because he built a great cathedral all by himself for the glory of God, not because he took children into his home, not because he sold everything that he had and fed the poor, not because he warmed a seat in the church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night, not because he ushered every Sunday in his church, not because he was a pillar of the local church, not because of any of those things was he made right with God. He was made right with God on the basis of his faith. Nothing else. His faith. He believed what God said. It was not his worthiness. Now to him, verse 4, that worketh is the reward reckoned not of grace but of debt. In other words, if a man thinks himself worthy and that God is required because of his worthiness to give him a certain gift, then that reward or that gift is due him by debt, not of grace. But to him that worketh not, who is not worthy, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the last words, or among the last words, that Jesus spoke before he left the earth. Notice that he did not say, "I want you all to get yourselves worthy." He didn't say, "I want you all to get yourselves in the right condition so that you can be saved, so that you can receive from God." Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," not just the worthy, every creature. "He that is worthy and is baptized shall be saved. He that is unworthy shall be damned." Your Bible read like that? You know, the Bibles in most churches read like that. Not for real, but that's the way most church people feel. How many of you used to feel that way? "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that are worthy. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. And they shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. These signs shall follow them that" what? "Believe." Not the worthy, but the believers. Now, sometimes in the church, we find it difficult to understand why God seems to bless certain people over others. "Well, Lord, I know that guy. I know the kind of life he leads. He's my neighbor. Or I work with him. Or I know his wife, and I know she tells me what goes on in their house. How can he receive these blessings from you? And here I am. I'm a good person. I'm not doing the same things, and I can't seem to get anything from you. I'm going to show you why he does and you don't." You've already seen it. What's he got that you don't?
Faith.
See, it has nothing to do with being worthy. It's got nothing to do with your own worth. It's got only to do with who he is and what he said and whether you'll believe it. Now, you can be saved today. You can be born again today. You can have a new life on the inside of you. Jesus Christ will come and live inside you if you'll simply believe it. It's got nothing to do with anything but that. You can receive the fullness of God's power, not because you're worthy, but because you believe. You can be healed in your body. We're going to pray here in just a few moments. We're going to anoint a little baby with a child with oil for the healing of her body. Her mother is bringing her. She's in the nursery now, and she's hearing me, and she's on her way down. And when we pray for that child, there's nothing in the child and there's nothing in her mother that means that she is due the healing power of God. But God gives healing because of faith. She believes, and we're going to believe and release our faith in that child's healing. And so it shall be with you. Worthiness has nothing to do with it. Only faith. Shall we pray?